Nearly 6 months on from the deadly Christchurch mosque attacks, 8 websites continue to link to the video of the attacks or the manifesto of the alleged shooter, despite being asked to take them down. But today, the eSafety Commissioner, Julie Inman-Grant, will order internet service providers to block those websites. It's the first time the Commissioner will use new powers she was granted 2 months ago to order the blocking of this kind of content. Julie Inman-Grant is with me this morning. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you for having me, Hamish.
Why is this action being taken now?
Well, we have tried to engage constructively with the sites that are hosting this abhorrent violent material, which really does not serve the public interest. It's a calculated intention to amplify the agenda of hate that the manifesto and the brutality of those videos is meant to convey and incite further hatred. And so we said take it down or we will continue blocking you. We had some success. There were 45 sites initially that were blocked. It's now down to 8. And those recalcitrant 8 are the ones that will continue to be blocked. They can come back to us anytime. If they have removed the material, we will remove the block.
Out of interest, if you're in communication with them about this content, what's their feedback on why they don't remove it?
Well, again, most of these are gore and fringe sites that revel in hatred. Some of them also host child sexual abuse material. One of them is a anti-Muslim blog and site. And so, again, they exist to spread and incite this kind of hatred. So that's the stand we're taking. We're looking at the broad spectrum of fundamental human rights here, and we are concerned that, you know, Australians should not have access or exposure to it. It doesn't serve the public interest in any way.
You're asking internet service providers to block the content. Does that necessarily guarantee that no one in Australia will be able to access it?
Well, there are always going to be ways to circumvent technology, but with these 6 organizations taking blocking power, about 96% of Australians will be blocked from being able to directly access it. They would have to go to great lengths to try and access it. And, you know, let me just reinforce how brutal and violent this material is. Exposure to it can be very damaging to the people who are accessing it, but it's also an affront to the human dignity of the victims themselves and their families and friends.
I suppose it's a pertinent question, though, about whether you can guarantee Australians won't be able to access it, because we are talking about people on the fringes, right, on the extremes, who have very strong views, who probably go and seek out this kind of content. There will be ways for them to get to it, won't there?
There will always be ways for people who want to misuse technology or circumvent technology to access the content. We can't go to war as a small independent agency with the internet, but we're going to do our best to keep it as clean as possible and protect Australians from readily or easily accessing it.
The websites that host this material are obviously often also used to spread and weaponize hate before any attacks occur. If the websites pose such a danger that we're forcibly blocking them now, why aren't we taking action against them earlier if they're clearly a risk to society?
Well, you know, I think that's a good question. And I, you know, obviously laws are local. Our jurisdiction tends to be local and the internet is global. And this is why we're trying to work more broadly with our colleagues overseas. We're the only agency in the world that has these kinds of powers and is solely dedicated to looking after the online safety of its citizens. I expect in the next 5 years there will be a proliferation of similar e-safety commissioners, and we would welcome that. We do need to tackle this and be more proactive and be tackling these sites of hatred before they're allowed to proliferate and fester.
So you do think that these sites are a risk to society even before they host this kind of content?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, freedom of expression is very important, but it's never absolute. When it serves to promote and incite further hate and terrorism, I think that's where we need to draw the line, and we need to have a lot less tolerance for this kind of proliferation of hate. And unfortunately, we're seeing you know, this moving to the dark web and the decentralized web. So it's an arms race, if we're to be honest. We've got to keep fighting with the tools we have, with and bring as many people along on the fight with us if we can.
Earlier this hour, we spoke to the president of Microsoft, Brad Smith, and he says tech companies don't want to see their platforms used to spread hate material. He says Christchurch was a turning point and that the industry will never be the same. Is it your view that the big tech giants, the platforms, are genuinely committed to stopping the spread of hate material? We're not just talking about violence here.
Well, let me say that the large platforms have been responsive and responsible, but that does not mean that they have to stop there. I think they can be more proactive. They have the greatest minds and intellectual capability, access to advanced technologies, financial resources. We do need to see more leadership. We need to see AI and machine learning. If we can use that to target advertising, we can certainly target hate more effectively. They should be looking for signals. So for instance, the Christchurch shooter, before he streamed on Facebook Live, indicated on 8chan, which is no longer up, that he was planning to do so. So companies need to be setting up systems and technologies to better and more proactively detect and remove this before it goes viral.
Fergus Hansen from the Australian Strategic Policy Institute spoke to us last month about all of this. He said the abhorrent and violent content laws that were passed in April are unworkable. He says all the platforms would likely be in breach of the laws right now, and they don't have the right parameters to be effective. Is he right?
I don't think he's right there. We have issued 4 notices under the AVM laws, and all 4 thus far have been successful. Again, we continue to work with the social media companies, the more responsible and responsive companies, and we are having success. We have not issued a notice to them. You know, it's been known for a long time that terrorist groups, whether you're ISIS or a far-right terrorist group, have been exploiting the smaller platforms for a long time. So we're kind of fighting a fight on 2 fronts, if you will. We're trying to work with the larger, more responsible companies to get them to do more, because that's where the virality comes, because they have such a huge reach, you know, in the billions of users.
But this is the can I just get to the nub of that question, though,
sure,
which is about whether or not the platforms would all likely be in breach?
They haven't been in breach thus far, no.
Okay.
So, and if they are, then we should put them on notice, and they should address the fact that there is abhorrent violent material on their platforms and take it down.
Do you acknowledge that there is a degree of sort of legal gray area now that some of them are operating in with regards to this legislation?
I actually don't think there's a gray area. The legislation sets out a very high threshold. We're talking about live streamed or hosted murder, rape, suicide, beheadings, flaying, decapitation. I don't think that's gray area. We're not talking about just obscene and offensive. We're talking about highly damaging, violent, lethal material that not only is an affront to human dignity, but is extremely damaging to anyone who is exposed to it.
Julia Inman-Grant, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks a lot, Hamish.
Julia Inman-Grant is the eSafety Commissioner.